Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Daf Pebet. Today's Daf has been sponsored by Mr. Jerry Harari and family in memory of his brother Yosef Ben Simcha Sheniftar Bekitzur Yamin Veshanim. Tehi Nishmatot Serura Besor HaChaim. Amen. Today's daf is also being studied by Ilu Nishmat Morenu Verabenu Hacham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Abraham Ben Esther Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Pebet, three lines from the top. Amar Le Rav Huna Le Rabba Bere. Rav Huna told his son Rabba, my ta'ama lo shechichat kamed Rav Chisda, the mechadedan shemate. Why don't you frequent yourself to study in front of Rav Chisda that has very sharp halachot? Which means he was advising his son, go learn by Rav Chisda, he's a very sharp rabbi. So he said, Amar leh, mai izir legabeh. What do you want me to go in front of him? Dechi azir na legabeh. When I go in front of him to learn, motiv le bimile de alma, he asks me questions on mundane things, which means he doesn't talk about the Vrei Torah to me. He talks about mile de alma, mundane things. Rashi says b'devrei chinam she'eno Torah. Amar le, so he gives him an example. He says to his father, he says, this is what he told me. Man da'ayid lebet hakiseh. A guy that goes to sit in the bathroom, lo litiv bahadeh, which means he should not sit right away. That she says bimhera, shouldn't sit down right away. Velo litrahtefeh, nor should he exert himself a lot, meaning now he shouldn't push a lot. Why? Dehai karkashta atlat shine yativ, which means the karkashta, which is the rectum, it rests on three teeth. There are three teeth that look like teeth, muscles of the rectum, and if you sit quickly or you push very strong, dilma mishamta shine de karkashta, that maybe it'll cause a tear in the muscles of the rectum, ve'atelide sakana, I'll come to danger. So he's trying to tell his father, I should go learn in front of Rav Chisda. This is the type of things that he teaches me. It's not Devrei Torah. Amar leh. So his father tells him, Hu asik b'hayed b'riyata. He is giving you things that are very important to health. Ve'at amar b'mile de'alma. And you're calling these things mundane? He's giving you things, practical things of life, how to live. The briyata, which is these are very important health issues. Called shekenzi legabe. All the more so you should go and study by him. Comes the Gemara and says, Hayu lefanav sror vacheres. So now the Gemara discusses a case where a guy has in front of him a rock, sror, or cheres. Cheres would be pottery, chart of pottery. So the question is, which one do you opt for first? Now, what are we talking about? As she says, b'Shabbat. We're talking about on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, mekaneyach b'sror. Better to use the rock than mekaneyach b'cheres. And don't use the cheres. Why? So that she explains, mekaneyach b'sror, b'Shabbat, afal pi delav bar tiltulu b'ama. Normally, we learned in yesterday's daf, we said that normally rocks are mukseh, as opposed to, let's say, a chard of pottery, but still, opt for the item that's mukseh to wipe with. Why? Lashi the next, Lashi ve'enu mekaneach b'cheres mishum sakana. Because the cheres is sakana. Either it causes to rip out the shine karkashta, right? It will rip out those muscles, or as we learned, there's also issues of kishuf. It's the black magic issue, that it becomes susceptible. So on Shabbat, better to opt for the item that's normally mukseh and not go for the cheres. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Chisda amar mekaneach b'cheres ve'en mekaneach b'sror. He says the exact opposite. You go with the cheres. She says, she'esh turat kli aleha. Bottom line, it's considered a vessel, so therefore you alleviate the mukseh issue. Better to alleviate the mukseh issue. What about the sakana issues? It seems that Chazda is not concerned. So the Gemara says, Metive, we have a contradiction from a braita. Hayu lefanav sror v'heres. Exact case is brought in the braita. You have in front of you either a rock and a piece of cheres, a chard of pottery. Mekaneyach becheres, then mekaneyach besror. Clearly it says you use the cheres to wipe. Tiyufta de Rav Huna. This is a refutation to Rav Huna that says you use the rock. So the Gemara answers, Targemara from Bar Papa Kameh de Rav Chizda Aliba de Rav Huna. We can explain this braita to fit with Rav Huna as well. Be'ogne kelim, which means we're talking about over here with the rim of charred pottery, which is, let's say you have a pot, or a keli, a vessel of pottery, and you're not using the vessel itself, but you're using the rim of it. Let's say it has a rim, so it broke, let's say. So you're using that. What is special about that? Now she says, Shehem halakim. That part of the pottery is smooth. The ena mikara'in et basar. And it doesn't rip the basar. So therefore, the braita that says, up with the cheres, is not talking about regular cheres. It's talking about a special rim of a keli cheres that doesn't cause rippage of the muscles of the rectum. However, Rav Huna and the braita, when his statement, when he said, you should use a sror, because the options were either a sror or that type of cheres that cuts. So therefore, of course, after the sror. So the braita is not a question of Huna. We'll establish it basically on a type of cheres that doesn't damage. So then why is that a better option? Because it's not mukseh. At least it still has the status of a keli, as opposed to the sror that would be in the status of mukseh.
The guy still keshafim would have
it? Right, it seems that they're not concerned here about the keshafim factor. This is true. Hayu lefanav sror v'asabim. Next case. You have in front of you, a fellow has in front of him rocks and grass. And two items where he can use to wipe himself. Rav Chizda v'Rav Menuna. It's machloket. Hadamar mekaneach besror ve'en mekaneach ba'asabim. One rabbi says, opt for the rock and not the grass. Hadamar mekaneach ba'asabim ve'en mekaneach besror. And one says, you opt for the grass. Now let's read Rashi. Ve'enu mekaneach ba'asabim. What's the logic why you shouldn't use the grass? So Rashi says, she'asabim lahim. So now she's first interpretation, he says, because they're moist. The grass is moist. V'chotchin et habasar. It seems the grass has a certain sharpness to it, and it'll rip the person's basar. Now that means that he's understanding, according to his first interpretation, that this is not only on Shabbat. This is an issue, ben b'Shabbat, ben b'chol. Because if it's an issue of danger over here, we're concerned that he might rip the basar. V'rabotenu mefarshim. But he says, my rabbis explain that, she continues, Mishum Telisha. Now, the issue is over here, we don't want you to use grass, because you might come to pull it out. Now, Ve'en Yodea Mahu. He says, I don't know what that means. Di'iba Asabim Mechubarim, because if you're talking about where the grass is attached, Mi'ika Man Deshari. How could the other opinion say grass is okay? Which means no one will agree that you could take out grass from the ground. Which is, one rabbi says use grass, one rabbi says don't use grass. Now, if we're talking about grass that's attached, nobody can matir grass. So that she says, v'chimdume ani demuk mila b'mchubarin. That she says, no, we're talking about grass that's still attached to the ground, u'mekaneach b'hem b'chiburam. And you're wiping yourself when they're still attached to the ground. That's the issue over here. So one rabbi says, well, they're still attached to the ground, then we're not going to make a gizit out of anything. No problem. The other rabbi says, no, you can't use the grass because we're concerned that it might get pulled out. Now, let's understand the next Rashi. So the first opinion says, Eno mekaneach ba'asabim. Right? First opinion says you don't use grass. And the issue is why? Either because it cuts, that would apply even during the week, or because it's attached, and the concern is because of telisha. You might pull it out. The other opinion said, Eno mekaneach besror. You're not allowed to use the rock. What's that logic? Delav bar tetulu. Because bottom line, it's mukseh. Hilkach mekaneach ba'asabim kishem mechubar. What do you mean? Isn't grass also mukseh? See, you tell me you can't use the rock because it's really a mukseh item, but grass is also mukseh. So that she says, well, we're talking about grass that's attached. And what? The lawyer zizim, you're not going to move them. Meaning, what does it mean you're not going to move them? It means you're not going to move them with your hands. Which means the person is going to wipe himself by rubbing himself in the attached grass. Umisum shimush b'mechobar. Oh, but you can ask me a question. We know that the halakha says you're not allowed to use, forget about pulling out something that's attached. You can't even use something that's attached. For example, a tree, you cannot use a tree that's attached to, for example, hang something on it. So your bottom line, you're using the grass to wipe yourself. So that she says, lo mitzar. Well, that angle, it's not asur. Kedamin be'arubin, de'lo asur ela be'ilaru be'kanim ozarim lefi shem kashim. They only will say things that are hard, like a tree, branches, but they were not osir grass that is soft. So therefore, this shita says what? Don't use the rock, because the rock, you have to pick it up with your hand, you're going to have to deal with mukseh. Masha'enken, the grass is good, why? It's attached. Mukseh, you're not touching it with your hands, you're just moving your body over the grass. Are you using the grass? You could use the grass, there was no gezeirah out by soft items that attach to the ground. So we have a mahloket. Which item should you use if the options are a tzror, a rock, or a grass that is attached? Gemara says, we have a contradiction from a braita. Hamkaneya bedavar sha'ur sholetet bo. Gemara says, if a person wipes himself with an item that is susceptible to fire, meaning an item that's flammable. Grass, for example, is flammable. So the Gemara says, if you use something to wipe that's flammable, shinava tachtonot noshrot, which means the lower muscles of the rectum fall off. It is dangerous. So therefore, how could a rabbi over here tell me you can use grass? One of the shittot of him said grass is okay. Aye, what do you mean? Or sholetet bahem. The fire is susceptible to these things. They're flammable. Gemara says, La kasha, no question. Ha belachin, ha bibishin. Which means, when do we say it's okay? When the grass is moist, then it's permissible. Ha bibishin, but if it's dry, since it's flammable, it's going to be asur. So again, something that's dry and flammable, asur. Something that's moist, even though it's flammable, is okay. So the rabbi that said you can use grass, he was talking about where it is moist. Now, of course, at this point, you can analyze, according to this Gemara, those that use paper, which is the standard kinuach of our generation, chaura, it is flammable. And therefore, how does one use paper as the kinuach? So the poskim do talk about it. It could be that it was only Bizman Nehem, where they were in public, where there was, this was an issue as well as Kishuf maybe, there was some Kishuf behind it, because Ur Sholetet Bahem is not a logical thing, just because it's flammable, that you do anything to your rectum. And that was in public, when there was black magic, let's say, but we, that we use bathrooms more in private, so maybe we're not subject to the to this item. In any event, the Gemara continues, HaNitzrach Lefanot Ve'eno Nifneh. Let's say a person has to go to the bathroom, but he can't. Ve'enu nefneh. Rav Chisda v'Rabina. So Rav Chisda v'Rabina say, what's going to happen to this man? Had amar ruach ra'a sholetet bo. One says he's going to be subject to bad breath. That she says, kos reyach hapeh shazevel merakev b'me'ayim. The zevel, the waste is decomposing in his system, in his intestines, the yotzer reyach derech piv, and the smell comes out through his mouth. So he'll be subject to bad breath. Ve'had amar ruach zuhama sholetet bo. And one rabbi says he'll be subject to perspiration that smells, because the same concept as she says, kol gufo masriach b'ze'ah, his whole body will stink from perspiration. Masrahat shareyach niblah b'msarot. She says the smell is going to get absorbed into his flesh. Ube'evarav ve'ava bo lize'ah mizuhemet. And it's going to be smelly perspiration. Tanya keman damar ruach zehamah sholetet bo. We have a bright up to support the opinion that says that he will perspire with the smell. De tanya nitzrach l'nekabav. A person has to go to the bathroom. Ve'ochel, and he eats. on a stomach that's full that he has to go to the bathroom. Dome, it's analogous. Letanur shesikua algav efro. It's like lighting up a furnace or an oven over the ashes that's in it already, which means you didn't clean out the ashes and you light a new fire in it. So what happens? The fire is not a good fire because now it still has the old ashes on top of it. And therefore the same thing when a person has to go to the bathroom and he eats, so the food is not going to be digested properly because his stomach is not cleaned out. It's like making a fire over dirty ashes that are in the oven. And the Braita continues and says, Vizuhi Tehilat Ruach Zehama. And this is the beginning of perspiration. This is the beginning of bad, smelly perspiration. So you see what? We have a Braita to support that opinion that a person has to go to the bathroom and doesn't cause him to perspire. Utsrak lifanot, fenu yakol lifanot. If a person has to go to the bathroom, but he cannot, he tries to relieve himself, but he cannot. Amar Rav Chisda, so Rav Chisda gives the solution. Ya'amod v'yeshev, ya'amod v'yeshev. He should just sit and stand a few times in order to get the muscles of that area start working, in order to push the zevil down, in order to start the process. So standing and sitting would help him. Rav Hanan min Hardea Amar. Rav Hanan from the Hardea said, Yistalek l'stadin. He should go to one corner and sit and try, and get up and go to another corner and sit and try, which means the back and forth of trying in different places, which means the sitting combined with the walking to different places will start the process. Rabbi Menuna amar yimashmish b'sror be'oto makom. Rabbi Menuna said he should use a sror, like a rock, like we learned today, in order to open up that area. Rabbanan amare yasiyah da'to. I'm going to say, take your mind off it. Think about something else. Which means, no mefneh. Which means, all the more so, if you're taking your mind off it, all the more so, it's not going to cause you to go to the bathroom. No mefneh. It's not going to cause you to relieve yourself. So he says, fine. Amar le, what he meant to say is, yasiyah da'ato midvarim ahirim. You should take your mind off of other things, which means that's all you should think about. Yeah. And the brain power of thinking about it will cause it to happen. Amar Rav Yirmiyah Medifti. Rav Yirmiyah Medifti said, Lididi Haziliyahu Tay'a. He says, I saw a certain Arab. Dekam v'yativ, dekam v'yativ. He got up and he sat down, he got up and he sat down. Ad Shafiq Kikidera. Until the excrement poured out of him like the emptying of a pot, which means it was totally, totally cleaned out. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Hanichnas the Seudat Keva. A person is entering a Seudat Keva, which means a meal. And it's not proper in the middle of a meal to get up and go to the bathroom. Not the Derech Eretz, it's in the middle of a meal to have to get up and relieve yourself. So therefore the proper etiquette is to try to check yourself before you go to the Sauda. So it says, how do you check yourself? To see if you have to go to the bathroom or not. Yehalech yud pa'amim shel arba arba amot, ve'amileu dalet pa'amim shel eser eser amot. Either he should go 10 times for amot each time, walk for amot, stop, walk for amot, stop. Do that 10 times, again, to get the muscles working, to see if he has to go, or walk 10 amot 4 times. Point is, these, it's a machloket, if the short walk or it's the long walk, shorter times, depends what machloket over here is, which is more effective. The shorter walk more times, or the longer walk less times. But the point is, the movement will bring it on. Vinifneh. And then he should go to the bathroom. Then the nechnas v'yoshev v'mkomo. Then he can go to the meal, sit in his place, and doesn't have to worry that he's going to have to go to the bathroom in the middle. Just as she says, in dibur ha-matchil ha-nechnas l'seudat keva, v'genayu lo imistarech la'amod min ha-seudah v'lefnot. It's a genay. It's embarrassing to have to get up in the middle. It's not nice to go to the bathroom. Yud pa'amim yamtim v'm pa'am le'pa'am. Of course, you should stop, as she says, in between each interval of walking. V'yibdok atzmai, check yourself. This is more than that, which means that she's teaching us here that you walk for amot, sit down, try to go. It doesn't work. Get up again. Walk another 4 amot, which means you're doing it that way. Some say 4 intervals of 10 amot. The more you walk, the more it causes the zevil to come down into his intestines. Comes the Gemara and continues. The Mishnah. Heres. Now we discuss what is the minimum shiur of heres that one is going to be hayav hatat if he carries it on Shabbat b'shogeg. Kidei liten ben pasim lechavero. Literally, pasim means slats. So that she explains what this means. Why would you use heres, pottery or clay, in regard to slats? So that she says, ben patsim lachavero, kishemisaderim pesimim ve'amudim ve'korot. When you're piling up slats or planks of wood, ve'osin so'ar shel korot al'arish, and you're making a pile of korot beams, let's say, on the ground, ve'yesh halal ben zeh lezeh. Let's say when you're stacking them up, there's some air space in between the slats or the planks. Now what happens? If they're not resting flush on top of each other, they warp. And therefore what they do is to keep them flush, so they add some heres in between in order that there's no airspace. So therefore the amount of heres that you use in order to fill the air spaces between the petsamim, in order to keep them from warping, that would be considered shiur hashuv of heres. Whose opinion is that? Tevre Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, he says, no, the size of head is large enough in order to remove a coal from a fire, which means the head has a certain width and length to it where you could stick it into the fire and lift up a coal. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yose Omer, keder lekabel bo rabi'it. Now, it's big enough in order to draw a rabi'it of water. You can use it like a cup. So 3 she taught on the minimum shiur of heres. Comes Gemara and says, Amar b'mir, Gemara Mishnah, Amar b'mir, afapi she'en la'ayal adavar, even though I don't have a conclusive proof to what I'm saying, that the shiur is to grasp onto a coal, however, zechel adavar, I have a remez to it in a pasuk in Yeshaya. So the pasuk says, "Velo yimase b'mchitato haras lachtot esh." This pasuk over here, lachtot esh mi yikud, which means this pasuk over here is talking about when the Jewish people put their faith into their adversaries, that they had took their faith away from Borei Olam. So the pasuk is giving the Bnei Yisrael rebuke and saying that the wall of the Egyptians is going to fall, and it's going to fall so much that there's not going to even be a piece of chard in order to pick up a coal. So you see what? That the shi'ur of a small chard is enough to pick up a coal, so you have a remez. She's the pasuk said, "Velo yimaseh b'mchitato haras lachtot esh." You will not find a piece that's even enough to pick up a coal. So it means I have a remez in the pasuk to what I'm saying. So the Gemara says, "Amar le Rabbi Yoseh." Rabbi Yoseh says, "Misham ra'aya." He says, "From there you're bringing a proof to yourself. I can bring a proof to me." Read the end of the pasuk. The next word says, "V'lachsof ma'im migebe," or to draw water, or to scoop water from a hole. Which means, I'll bring the same pasuk for me. It means the charge is going to be so small that I'm not going to be able to draw water from a hole. So you see, the pasuk really gives that image to his shita as well. Comes the Gemara and says, we're going to skip the parentheses. Oh, we're going to see in the Gemara which shiur is bigger than others. Mistabra is the first line of the Gemara there. Mistabra shiura de Rabbi Yose nafish. From logic, it would make sense to say that the shirut of Rabbi Yosef that says enough of Rabbi Yosef of water to scoop up is more than to get a coal. Because a coal can be very small. Rabbi Yosef is a certain standard shirut. From logic would dictate that the shirut of Rabbi Yosef is larger. Comes the Gemara and says, Umikra, but from the Pasuk, Shi'urad Rabbi Meir Nafish. But from the Pasuk it seems that Rabbi Meir Shi'ur is larger. Why? Because the Pasuk is saying that not only the wall's going to come down, there's not going to be enough, the charge is going to be so small, that not only they're not going to be able to hold a coal, which is a bigger piece, but not even to hold water. So it sounds like the coal shi'ur is larger. That would make sense in the pasuk. Not only the big charge, but they're not going to even have small charge. So from the pasuk, it seems the opposite. And the Gemara explains that. Because if you're going to say that the shirut of Rabbi Yosef is larger, means the water, to scoop up water, the Navi curses them with a small measurement, and then he curses them with a larger measurement, which means, if you're telling me that the shirut of the coal, the charge, to pick up a coal is less, so he's saying the water is going to come tumbling down, it's going to be so small, the charge, that it won't be able to pick up a coal. And even a little bigger, that it won't be able to hold water. Already, you curse them with the smaller item. Because again, you don't go to a large item. So from the Pasuk, it seems that the Shi'ur of the Bimeir is... No, the Shi'ur of Bimeir is larger, and the Shi'ur of Bimeir is smaller. But from logic, it seems that the Shi'ur of Bimeir is greater than the shiur of the B, because it seems a coal is the minimum shiur. How big is a coal? You can have a small coal. So therefore the logic says any coal. You can say shiur the size of a coal, big coal or a small coal. So therefore it's a small coal. So therefore it sounds like it's bigger from the logic. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Matnitin Ameh. No, I can explain the Mishnah. Lachtot Esh Mikida Gedola. Our Mishnah maybe is talking about enough to pick up a coal from a big fire. If you have a big fire, you're going to need a bigger piece of charred to get in there in order to get the coal. Which is, if you have a big fire in front of you with a small little piece of charred, you'll burn your hand. So therefore I can tell you, really the Mishnah is also referring to a bigger size, like the Pasuk is Mashma. So therefore the Pasuk is in sync, or the Mishnah, I should say, is in sync with the Pasuk, where you could say that really the Chiur of Rabbi Meir is bigger, and Rabbi Yosef is less. That's what Rabbi was saying, that the wall is going to come down, it's not going to be not only a charge the size of a coal, to pick up a coal, which is bigger, but even a small, not enough to pick up a Rabbi Yosef of water. Correct. Comes Gemara and says, Shapir ka'amar le Rabbi Yosef le Rabbi Meir. Which means, Rabbi Meir brought this pasuk as a remez for him, to show you that charred has to do with picking up coals. So Rabbi Yosef says, from there's a proof? On the contrary, there's a proof to me. So the Gemara says, hey, Rabbi Meir, what do you answer to Rabbi Yosef's claim? So the Gemara says, Shapir ka'amar le Rabbi Yosef le Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, lo me ba'ya ka'amar. Rabbi Meir will understand this pasuk in a lo mebaya style, meaning lo mebaya midi dechashiv leinish delo lishtakachle, which means the Rabbi was saying like this: not only when the wall comes down, not only are the charge going to be small where people hold them as a significant measurement, ela afilu midi delo hashiv leinish lo tishtakachle. Even small, where people don't consider it a hashuv, it's going to fall to smaller pieces. Which means, but the minimum shiur hashuv is to hold the coal. The Navi was saying, not only are the pieces going to come down to a size what's significant to human beings, the size to pick up a coal, but even it's going to go so small on things that even people don't hold significant. Which means he's saying that's not the shiur. We're trying to find out the minimum shiur of
Chayres. So therefore, what is the shi'ud? Rabbi Meir says the size of a coal, to pick up a coal. So what was the Navi saying? It's not the wall that comes down. That's the mashal of the Navi. The wall comes down, it's going to be pieces of Chayres. The pieces are going to be so small, not only small where people still consider it important, like to pick up a coal, but it's going to be so small where people don't even value it. So therefore, the Bible is saying, that pasuk is no proof to you to be Yosef. You're trying to say that to scoop up water, that's the shiur hashuv. On the contrary, the Rabbi is saying, it's going to be so small where the people don't even value it. The scooping up water is too small that people don't even give it a hashivut. So therefore, it's no proof to Rabbi Yosef. Hadran ala chamotzi yain. That concludes the 8th perek. And now we begin the 9th perek. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Minayin la'avoda zara shemetame'a b'masa kenida. How do we know that avoda zara, let's say an idol that was worshipped for avoda zara, how do we know that it's metame? It is metame. It can contaminate somebody. It's an idol. It's a person made out of wood. But once already somebody worships in avodah zarah, Hakamim gave a tum'ah on it. How do we know that the tum'ah that they gave to avodah zarah is called tum'at masa? What is tum'at masa? Literally, masa means to carry it. Meaning, some tum'ot only are if you touch it. That would be called tum'at maga. Tum'at masa means, if let's say you're holding it, you're carrying it. Imagine, person has a bag, and in it there's idols, and he's holding it on his shoulder. So this is not maga, because he's really not coming in contact with it. However, he's carrying it. Tum'at masa, he's holding it, he's lifting it. So the chidush of the Gemara, the question of the Biyaka is, how do you know that avodah zarah has a tum'ah called tum'at masa, literally carrying tum'ah, or lifting tum'ah, like a nida. Now a nida as well, a lady who's a nida, she's not only metameh if you touch her, but if, let's say, somebody lifts her, even though they're not touching her, she also has the ability to be metameh. So they say avodah zarah has the same level of tum'at masa of a nida, like a nida. How do you know that? So the Mishnah quotes the pasuk Shene'emar, the pasuk in Yeshaya again. Pasuk says, Tizrem kemo dava, tse tomarlo. The pasuk says, Tizrem, scatter the idols away, kemo nida, or kemo dava, like a lady that menstruates, that's a nida. Tse tomarlo, tell the avodah zarah, get out of here, tse. So the, obviously you see the pasuk is connecting avodah zarah to nida. Ma nida metame'a b'masa, af avodah zarah metame'a b'masa. So too avodah zarah is metame'a b'masa. Now what in the world does this have to do with Masechet Shabbat? So we will see that this is really a lead up to a later Mishnah that's going to discuss the law of Brit Milah on Shabbat. The Gemara is asking different questions. How do you know this and how do you know that? Altogether, we're going to have 8 Mishnayot that are going to ask these type of questions. But we only really need for Masechet Shabbat one of them, which is going to be towards the end, which is going to ask a question to Gaber Brit Milah with Shabbat. So therefore, it brought all these as a prerequisite to that question. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanatam, we learned over there in Avodah Zarah Mishnah. Mi Shehaya, what does that dollar do? That take us to a Bach. Mi Shehaya Kotlo, Samuch, La Avodah Zarah, or some have it, La Asherah. Which means, let's say a person has a house, and his wall is connected to an area where they worship for avodah zarah. It's an attached house, for example. It's attached more than to the church. It's attached to the idol, which means they actually worship the house. They're worshiping the wall now. When he built it, it wasn't like that. But all of a sudden now, his connecting wall now turned into a Abu Dazarat. So now the question is, look at that, she says, Shaya oto kotel mechitza ap lebet Abu Dazara. The, it's guy's house.
House
wall? Yeah. Now she says, I'm reading the Kutei Rashi. Shaya echad mekotle avodat kochavim vehabayit atzmo ne'ibad. Now she says in Likud that the house itself is being worshipped. So the guy's got a problem. What did he do with his wall now? It's avodat zara. So the Gemara says, v'nafal, now the wall came down. It fell. As soon as noto, obviously, he's not allowed to rebuild it because now he's benefiting Avodah Zarah. By him putting back that wall up, he's benefiting the neighbor that's worshipping it for Avodah Zarah. So what does he do? Kesa Yaseh, Kones Netok Shelo Dalir Amot Ubone, which means he can rebuild the wall, but he's got to move at least 4 Amot away from the spot in order not to even be in the domain of where the Avodah Zarah is. So he actually loses 4 Amot and he wrecks the wall. Tosfot says, and yes, he says, that the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, that's not fair, because now you're benefiting them, you're giving them 4 extra Amot for the Avodah Zarah. That's what Tosfot says. He says, Mabasikat Avodah Zarah, Parik Allah, the Hashavik Rafhal Avodah Zarah. You're giving space for the of the Avodah Zarah. I think Gemara answers it over there. But that's the first case. So we turn to Amud Bet. Haya Shelo Veshel Avodah Zarah. That she says, Shaya Hatsi Makom HaKotel Shel Avodah Zarah. Which means, now we're talking where there's a, half the wall is his, and half the wall is the goy's. That she, which is one, we're talking about, it was his wall. It's just that on the other side of it now, they're worshipping it for Avodah Zarah. So the wall came down, he can't put it up again. Now that she, where he explains it, the Likut, she, I'll read it. He says like this, no. Shaya echad mekoftam asud ibnoto. Just get you to the Likut. Haya shelo v'shel Avodah Zarah, shemakom ovi hakotel. The thickness of the wall. Let's say it's 2 amot. 1 amma belongs to the goy. And the thickness of 1 amma belongs to the Jew. Okay? So now he says, Nidon mehsa al mehsa. So you judge the wall 50-50. And as she says, I'm reading the Likutei Rashi, Oto chelek shel avodat kochavim eno olelo bechnisa dal ramot. Aval chelko olelo. Which means, as she says, Shimaya of yoshte amot. Let's say it was 2 amot the wall. So you start counting the 4 amot from 1 amma in, from the thickness, because that's yours, and then you go 3 more amot, and then you can erect the wall. So there was less. The other case, the wall came down, you got to go 4 amot from the entire wall. Here, you go 4 amot, because you owned half this, only half was for Avodah Zarah, so you go 3 amot away from the wall, and you erect the wall. So again, Ayah Shelov Avodah Zarah, Nidon Mechsa Mechsa, you judge it half. Okay, fine. Now we get to the subject. Gemara says, good. Abanav, ve'etzav, va'afarav. Now you knock down the wall. Well, the wall came down. The rocks of the wall? First case, let's say. The wall came down, right? But they're worshipping it for Avodah Zarah. So the rocks, it seemed the wood, Afarav, the dirt, the whole wall, all the components that make up the wall, mitameim kesheretz. They have tum'ah like a sheretz. What is a sheretz? A sheretz is one of the rodents that the Torah says are a creeping creature that crawls on the ground. This eight sheretzim that the Torah says are tameh, it emanates ava tum'ah, and therefore the Gemara is telling you that this broken wall that was worshipped by Avodah Zarah emanates like Tum'at Sheretz. Shere'emah, we have a pasuk regarding Avodah Zarah. Sheketz te shekesenu. Regarding Avodah Zarah, the Torah calls the Avodah Zarah a sheketz. Sheketz is like a sheretz, a crawling creature. So you see the Torah compares Avodah Zarah to a sheketz, to a sheretz. Comes the Gemara and says, Now, right, the Rashi does point out that Tum'at Sheretz is b'masa, meaning only if you... I'm sorry. Kesheretz she'eno metame b'masa. Rashi says Tum'at Sheretz is only b'maga, only if you physically come in contact with it. If you touch the rocks of this wall, you're tame. But if you put it in a bag and you carry it over your shoulder, it's not going to be metame. So the broken wall of Avodah Zarah is a din of a Sheretz. She'ne'emar... Shaketz de shakesenu. That is the words of Hachamim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, Kenida. He says, no. Avodah Zarah, right? Like we learned in our Mishnah, the Avodah Zarah has a din of Nida. Shene emad tizrem kemodava. Scatter it away like a nida. Manida mitame b'masa. Just like it has tumat masa, like we learned. Carrying it. So they have a very important machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, the extent of the Tumah of Avodah Zarah. Where is Chachamim? No, it's still Avodah Zarah. Once it was worshipped Avodah Zarah, it always retains its status of Avodah Zarah, and the Tumah is going to be there. The question is to what extent? Chachamim come along and say Tumah Chiret, Shenehema Shaket, Shakesenu, Tumat Maga. Rabbi Akiva says, Tum'at Nida, Tisserem Kemo Dava. And just like a Nida is Tum'at Masa, so to Avodah Zarah is Tum'at Masa. As I explained to you, let's say you put it in a sack, right? It was in a sack, you didn't touch it. Carrying it over your shoulder, it will bring you Tum'at. Amar Abba, so Rabba comes to explain. Tisserem De Amar Kera. When the Pasuk in Yeshayah said, Tisserem, you know, get rid of the Avodah Zarah, distance the Avodah Zarah. What does the word Tizrem mean? Nachrinu minach kezar. They should become estranged to you like a zar, like a stranger. Tizrem. It comes from the Lashon Zar, which means the Avodah Zarah should be totally estranged to you. Tse tomarlo. Tell the Avodah Zarah, tse. Go out. Hikanes al tomarlo. Don't bring it close, which means Rava is telling you, the Pasuk is telling you clearly over here, it's a strict Tum'ah we're giving this over here. Which means, this Avodah Zarah, we're saying Tzeh, which is we're going to put a serious level of Tum'ah. What level of Tum'ah? So Rava continues. Amar Rava, b'masa, tekule alma la peligi de metame'ah. Which in this Pasuk you see that they wanted the Avodah Zarah to be far away, distance, meaning it's really Tameh. And therefore everybody's going to agree. Meaning, the way he learns the Machloket between Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva, Tum'at Masa is not the Machloket. Everybody's going to consider it like a Nida, in the sense that even if you don't touch it, it's going to still render the guy Tameh just by carrying it, even if you didn't come in direct contact with it. That's what Rabba says. Why? Da'at kashli nida. Nobody can argue. The pasuk says tizerem kemodava. We have a clear pasuk that equates Avodah Zarah to nida. Just like nida is tum'at masa, so to Avodah Zarah will be tum'at masa. There's no argument, he says. So what's the argument? Ki peligi be'eben mesama. The argument is by the placed stone. What is a placed stone? You have a rock, for example. You place it over a couch. How do you place it over a couch? Well, it's suspended. It's being suspended by, let's say, beams. Put beams high up. Put a rock on top. That rock is under a couch or under a chair. And now, let's say, either you put Avodah Zarah on top of the rock, or let's say a Nidah comes and rests on the rock. Now, lechaora, which should be the question over here? Nida is only metameh if she sits on the couch, if she lies on the couch. Here, she just put her weight on the rock that's above the couch, and then even not even touching the couch. So there's a special deen called Eben Mesama. What's the deen? What's the case? Let's read Rashi for a second, just to see what we just said. Eben Mesama. Even shesamua al gabei yetedot. It's a rock that you placed on yetedot poles. So the poles are suspending it. V'chelim tahteha. And you have vessels underneath it. Okay? And he quotes a pasuk in Daniel to prove Eben Mesama. V'nida ozav yoshvim aleha. And let's say a nida or a zav sits on the rock. Afapishalok midu ala kelim. Even though they didn't put their weight on the vessels that were underneath, Timi'im akelim, the couch that's underneath becomes tameh. Tichtiv kol asher yiyeh tahtav. Anything that's under the nida or the zav, tameh. Now the Mefashi point out again, it's only talking about an item that's designated for sitting on. That's why I'm using the example as a couch or a chair. So the chidush is, there's a rock on top, so the nida sits on top of the rock. Didn't come in contact with the bench underneath or the couch underneath. But bottom line, I do anything that's under the nida, meaning an item designated for sitting, for example, will become subject to tamei nida. Chidush, is the din of Eben.
Like an
ohel? No, not me din ohel.
No, I'm saying like an ohel. It has to be.
Yeah, it's a, no, it's not touching this. That's over it. It's over it.
Any piece.
She sits up. She sits on top of the rock. She's on top of the rock. The couch becomes tameh. So the Gemara says, when it comes to Eben Misama, here you have an issue with Avodah Zarah. To what extent are you going to go with Avodah Zarah? Rabbi Akiva Savar Kenida. He says we're going to give Avodah Zarah the same stringency like Kenida. Just like Nida has the special din of the Eben, Kol Asher Tachdav Yitma, anything that's underneath it, which means if you put the Avodah Zarah on the rock, it's going to make what's underneath it tameh. So Rebbe Akiva is stringent. He learns the law of Nida, not only Tum'at Masa like Nida, but he says Tum'at Eben Mesama like Nida as well. Od Pam, we said according to Rava, everybody agrees that Avodah Zarah has Tum'at Masa. That's clearly like Nida. Rebbe Akiva says not only does it have Tum'at Masa like Nida, but it actually has all the dinim of nida, which is also subject to tum'at even mesama, meaning just like a nida that would sit on the rock, it would render the couch underneath tameh. A couch, an item I said, a keli that's designated for sitting. It's only an item designated for sitting. So too by avodah zarah, if the avodah zarah is on the rock, the couch that's underneath it will also become tameh. So the Gemara says, "V'rabbanan savre," but the rabbis say no. Kesheretz. When it comes to the rock law, we treat it like a sheretz. Ma sheretz lo metameh be'eben mesama, av avodah zarah lo metameh be'eben mesama. So therefore, the pasuk that compared Avodah Zarah to a sheretz. What was that pasuk? Shaketz teshakes henu. What does shaketz teshakes henu teach me? It limits what I learned from Nida. Which means you learn from Nida what? That it's tum'at masa. But don't think it's everything like Nida. It's like tum'at sheretz as well. That what? That just like tum'at sheretz, if you have a rock and a sheretz falls on the rock, what's underneath it is not tameh. So to Avodah Zarah, Hakamim say, is not subject to Tum'at Mesama. So let's review Rabbah again. Rabbah says, everybody agrees the Gabe Tum'at Masab Avodah Zarah. Machlokim is what? Eben Mesama. Rabbi Akiva says, I learned from Nida, that it is Tameh. And Hakamim will say, we learned from Sheretz to say, it is not. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Akiva, Demayil Chita Ekkash LeSheretz, what's the pasuk of Shaketz to Shaketzinu doing according to the B Akiva, which is technically he learns everything from Nida. Tumat Masa like Nida. Tumat Eben Mesama like Nida. So what did the pasuk say Shaketz to Shaketzinu? In what way is Avodah Zarah Dome to a Sheretz? So the Gemara says Limshamesheha, not Avodah Zarah, but it's things that serve it. For example, Avodah Zarah is the idol itself. That's Tumat Masa, that's Tumat Eben Mesama, everything. But then you have the ornaments, let's say. The trinkets that they hang on the Avodah Zarah, or they put in front of the Avodah Zarah, those are called the Mishamshim. The things that serve the Avodah Zarah. The things that serve Avodah Zarah are not as strict. They're going to have a deen of Sheretz. which is what the Torah says, Shaket Teshaket. Senu, it's not talking about Avodah Zarah. It's talking about the Mishamsheh Avodah Zarah. And what is it going to be subject to? Like a Sheres. Tumat Maga, touching it only, and no Evan Misama. What is Mishamshim? I told you, the trinkets that they put on the Avodah Zarah, the things that they adorn it with, okay. Right? Those are Mishamshim. Or let's say they put a table in front of it, and things like that. The incense that they serve it in front of, those are called Mishamshim. Tumat Maga, like a Sheres.
But Masa, no.
No, not Masa, like a Sheres. So the Pasuk says, Shaketz Teshakesenu, it's referring to the Mishamshim. Tumat Maga, that's got touching it, and no Ibn Misama. Beautiful, that's the Biakiba. Well, Rabbanan, why did the rabbis need to learn tumat from masa from nida? Luksha rahmana lenevela. Let the rabbis learn it from nevela, which means like this. The rabbis held what? It's like nida, and it's not like nida. It's like nida in the sense that it has tumat masa, but it's like a sheretz that it doesn't have tumat even. So the Gemara says, why confuse that you have to learn from this and you have to learn from that? Learn it straight from Tum'at Nevela. What is Tum'at Nevela? A dead carcass, which means an animal that wasn't slaughtered correctly, is called a Nevela. A Nevela, Tum'at emanates from a Nevela. What type of Tum'at? Tum'at Maga. Sorry, Tum'at Masa. Nevela is like a Nida. It's Tum'at Masa. But it's not subject to Evin Misama. So therefore, the Gemara asks, why did the rabbis have to learn one law from Nida Tumat Masa, one law from Sheretz to teach you it's not Mitama Evin Misama? Learn straight and say it's like a Nevela. Nevela has both dinim, Tumat Masa and no Evin Misama. Again, let's review. The rabbis, where did they learn from? The rabbis hold that Avodah Zarah is Tumat Masa? Yes. Where did they learn Tumat Masa from? Nida. Right? The Ptasu compared it to Nida. Do they hold Ibn Misamat Mitameh? No. Why? Because it's compared to Sheretz. So we took a deen of Nida, we took a deen of Sheretz. So the Gemara says, what do you have to learn from two Pesukim? You could have learned from Nivela straight, and Nivela has exactly what you're looking for. It's got Tumat Masa, and it doesn't have Tumat Ibn Misama. So learn from Tumat Nivela straight. So the Gemara says, you know what? You're right. Really? Avodah Zarah is exactly like Tumat Nivela. Ela, but you know why we'd rather learn from Nida? Because we gain another Hiddush from Nida. Ma Nida Ena Le'evarim. Af Avodah Zarah Ena Le'evarim. We have a law by Nida as follows. Let's say a lady's Nida. Obviously there's Tumadeh. And let's say an Evid of a Nida, one of the limbs, God forbid, comes off. It's amputated or something like that. So now the question is, what Tum'ah do you put on that limb? Well, a limb that comes off a live person has a deen of tumat mit, which means you have to treat it with the stringency of tumat mit. The question is, do you treat it as well as tumat nida? Do you put the stringencies of tumat nida on this item? So the deen over here is no. And nida is not mitameh le'evarim, which means the body parts of a nida do not have a status of nida. Okay, that's a deen. Now that she says, ena le'evarim, let's read that inside. Im nechtach ever memena. If let's say a limb is actually cut off from the nida, metameh b'masa ube'oil, yes, it will be metameh masa, carrying it, and in the tent, mishum turat ever menahai. Because that's a tumah of a limb that comes from a live person. That's not nida. Aval lo mishum turat ever mina nida. V'nafka mina delo metameh ever masa. Which means, if this limb was put on a rock, let's say, under a couch, over a couch, not nida. It's not going to be metameh ever masa. Only a nida is metameh ever masa. But its evarim are not. The evarim just have a deen of what? Ever minahai. That's the law of nida. So the Gemara says, so too the limbs of Avodah Zarah will not have Tum'ah. What is the limb of Avodah Zarah? You have Avodah Zarah, let's say it was a figure. all of a sudden it broke. So a piece of Avodah Zarah, we're going to treat it like the limb of a Nidah. Just like the limb of a Nidah is not Tum'ah, so too the piece of a broken Avodah Zarah is not Tameh. Let's review. So the Gemara asked, Rabbis, why don't you just learn from Nevelah? Right. It's exactly what you were looking for. Tumat Masah, no Ibn Masah. He said, no, I learned a law from Nidah. I learned a very important law from Nidah. What about a broken Avodah Zarah? Is a broken Avodah Zarah the status of Tumah? No, I learned it from Nidah. Just like a broken arm of a Nidah does not have Tumat Nidah, but a broken piece of Avodah Zarah. The only question is, what are you talking about? The whole Braita started off and said, the rocks of the wall, the woods of the wall, the whole piece of the wall of Avodah Zarah broke, is Mekabel Tumah. Now you're telling me the limb is not, what do you mean? That's the case we've been discussing. So the Tosafot asked this question. The Rishonim discussed this question. And the Rishonim must say like this. We're talking about over here that after the wall came down, the Goy worshipped every rock individually. And therefore it's not considered a broken piece of Avodah Zarah. It's considered the Afar, the Avodah, the Eds, so that in that case, it's Avodah Zarah. We're talking about, we have a figure of Avodah Zarah as a whole. It broke, that's considered a broken piece of Avodah Zarah. So there we're going to treat it like a Nidah. He didn't worship it. He worshipped the entity. He didn't worship the hand. He worshiped the piece. That's not a piece anymore. Broke. He didn't worship that little piece over there. So that's a broken piece of Avodah Zarah. That's the thing. Like a Nidah. Just like a broken piece of a Nidah is not Tumah. Nidah. So the broken piece of Avodah Zarah is not. So that's no Tumah. So Gemara said, no Tumah. Ve'elaha deba'er of Hama Barguria. So wait. If that's the way you're interpreting, we have a question that Rav Hama Barguria asked. Avodah Zarah. He asked. Rav Hama Barguria asked the following question. Avodah Zarah. Yeshna le'evarim or ena le'evarim? This exact question, he wanted to know, does the limbs of an Avodah Zarah have Tumah or not? What was his question? Tifshot le'meha. He should have solved it from what we just said. De'l-Rabbanan ena le'evarim. We just said, according to the rabbis, that's what we learned from Nidah, that it's not subject to Tumah if it's broken to pieces. So the Gemara, so what was Rav Hama's question? So he says, no, Rav Hama bar Gurya alibad Rabbi Akiva ba'ela. You're right. He knew what the rabbis hold. He wanted to know what the Bi'akiva holds. Which means, the Bi'akiva, we said, also learns from Nidah. What did you learn from Nidah? All stringencies. He says, Avodah Zarah is Masa. Avodah Zarah is also subject to Tumat Evin, Mesama. So Rav Hama wanted to know, does he also learn the leniencies from Nidah? Meaning that if a Nidah's limb breaks, there's no Tum'ah, and therefore the Avodah's limb is breaking. I know that Bi'akiva learns all the stringencies of Nidah, but does he also learn the Kula? That's a good question. So therefore, Rav Hama's question was not in the rabbis. He knew the rabbis hold there's no Tum'ah by the limbs of an Avodah Zarah. How do we know that? Because just like there's no Tum'ah by the limbs of Nidah. So he didn't have to ask according to their opinion, but he wanted to know the Bi'akiva. You also learn Avodah Zarah, Nidah. Avodah Zarah Tanida. How far do you go? You told me Masa, stringency. You told me Ibn Masa'at Mitameh, stringency. Are you going to go with the leniencies as well? Are you going to tell me that just like Nidah is not Mitameh Nevarim, Avodah Zarah is also not Mitameh Nevarim? So that already was a question that he had. Now the Gemara gives a note. That's the way Rabbah understood the Mahloket. Now we're going to understand the way the Bili'ezer interpreted the Mahloket between Rabbi Akiva and Balkamim. A lot of it's the same style, and therefore this Gemara will go quickly. The Rabbi Eliezer, had a different way of understanding the Mahloket. Let's just review for a second the way we understood the Mahloket according to Rabbah. Everybody hold Tumat Masa, Avodah Zarah has. The Mahloket was Dafka, does it have Tumat Eben Masa? Hakamim said yes. Rabbi Akiva said no. Now we understand a different way of learning it. Now we're going a little different way. Eben Mesama is not an option. Everybody holds Avodah Zarah is not subject to the rock. Which means, Even Rabbi Akiva holds that you put Avodah Zarah on top of a rock and the couch is underneath. It's not mitameh. That's not what the subject of the machloket was. Not like Rabbi learned. But the Eizen says no. By Emir Mesama, everybody holds it's actually like a shiritz, that it's not subject to tumat masa. So what's their argument? Ki peligi b'masa. Oh, the argument is indeed, is Avodah Zarah subject to tumat masa, carrying tumah or not? Rabbi Akiva samar kenida. Rabbi Akiva says yes, it is like a nida. Man nida mitameh b'masa, af Avodah Zarah mitameh b'masa. The Rabbanan sabri kesheretz. Nobody said all like a sheretz. Ma sheretz lo mitameh b'masa, af Avodah Zarah lo mitameh b'masa. Very good. Because machloket is masa or not. So the Gemara asks, the Rabbi Akiva, lema yilcheta et kash lesheretz? Question, which means Rabbi Akiva, you're telling me what? No tum'at even mesama. That's clear. Everybody agrees to that. You're telling me that it has tum'at masa. How? From nida. So what do you need sheretz for? Now the Gemara can answer very simply. You need sheretz to tell me that there's no even mesama. That's a very simple answer the Gemara could say at this point. The Gemara is not going to say that answer. The Ritva says the Gemara could have said that answer, but the Gemara just wants to keep uniformity to the way we learned the style above, so it's going to learn the same answers and plug them in this version. And what's the answer? Limsha Mashiach. Which means, you know why you need to learn Sheretz? The Chiddush is coming to tell you exactly that while Avodah Zarah proper is subject to Tumat Nida, which is Masa, when it comes to the Mishamshim, the ornaments of the Avodah Zarah and the things that serve the Avodah Zarah, that's like Tum'at Sheretz. And therefore what? Only Tum'at Maga. Good? So comes the Gemara and says, the rabbis, what did they learn from Nida? Which means, the rabbis come along and say what? That Tum'at Avodah Zarah is what? It's only, no. Everybody, right, according to this version over here, the machloket is Avodah Zarah mitameh b'masa or not? Hakamim will tell you it's not, it's mitameh b'maga. So where do they learn Avodah Zarah from? Sheretz. So what are they getting from Nida? What do they need Nida for? We have a pasuk that says it compares to Nida. So the Gemara asks, but Rabbanan Amayel Ketad Kash Nida, he says, ma Nida ena le'evarim, Avodah Zarah ena le'evarim. Very good. It's coming to tell you, just like a nida, her limbs are not subject to nida, so do the broken limbs of a Avodah Zarah not subject to tumah bichlal. Oh, the Rabbi Akiva, lemay ilcheta itkash lenida lemasa. Now go on the other way now. Rabbi Akiva, what did you need to learn from nida, the law of masa? Where should you have learned it from? Lukshe l'nevela. Learn from nevela. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva said what? Tum'at masa there isn't. Even masa there isn't. Even masa there isn't.
Right.
But tum'at masa there is. Which case in the Torah is exactly that? Nevela. So why do you have to learn tum'at masa from nida? No Ibn Masa'a from Sheretz. Go straight. Learn it from the prototype case for this story. That's Nevela. You could have learned from Nevela. Ela manida ena le'evarim. But I needed to get Nida in the picture over here. Because from Nida I learn, just like Nida is only, there's no Tum'ah by Evarim, so do the limbs of an Avodah Zarah broke. It's not going to be subject to Tum'ah as well. Elaha deba'eh Rav Hama Bar Guria. I go back to the same question. Rav Hama Bar Guria had a question. Avodah Zarah yishna de Evarim or ena de Evarim? Right, he wanted to know, the limbs of an Avodah Zarah broke, are they subject to Tum'ah or not? Tifshot le meha ben Rabbanan ben Rabbi Akiva de ena de Evarim. Which means, according to this version, whether you're Rabbi Akiva, like we just said, or whether you are Rabbanan, both shitot hold, there's no Tum'at Evarim by Avodah Zarah. So what was Rav Hama's question? Which is, he had a question, seems he didn't get an answer. What do you mean? Beferush. According to both opinions in this version, there's no Tum'at Evarim. So the Gemara answers. He wasn't asking according to this version. You're right, according to this version, it's obvious. Gemara says, Rav Chama bar Gurya kirabah matni. First, he went with the version of Rabah, the way Rabah explained the Machloket. And like we learned earlier, his question was, Rabbi Akiva, according to you that learn everything from Nida, you learn that Avodah is like Nida, that it's Tumat Masa. You learn from Nida that it's Tumat Evin Masa. Do you also learn the Kulot of Nida, that Evarim are not going to be subject? Just like Nida's Evarim are not subject to Tumat Nida, so too the Evarim of Avodah Zarah? That question he had in abeyance. So therefore, Rav Chama's question was in the version of Rabbah, Alibad Rabbi Akiva.